Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On behalf of every American, regardless of party, race, gender, or the language your grandmother speaks, on behalf of my mother and everyone who has ever set out on their own unlikely journey, on behalf of Americans like the people I grew up with, people who work hard, chase their dreams, and look out for one another, on behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
Well, after 4 days of showbiz, glitz and fanfare, Kamala Harris finally took to the stage at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago last night to accept the nomination for president and promised a new way forward for voters. But she also didn't hold back when it came to her Republican rival, Donald Trump. Let's take a listen.
I will not cozy up to tyrants and dictators like Kim Jong-un who are rooting for Trump. Because, you know, they know he is easy to manipulate with flattery and favors. They know Trump won't hold autocrats accountable because he wants to be an autocrat himself.
Let's get more on all of this. Greg Swenson is chairman of Republicans Overseas and TJ Malloy is former chairperson of Democrats Abroad, and you're both very welcome. So TJ, everybody said this was going to be a huge moment for Kamala Harris because we hadn't heard much about her policy positions. She hasn't done any big interviews. She has that debate with Donald Trump coming up on the 10th of December. Do you think she managed to tick the boxes, the ones that people in the Democrats were worried about?
Yeah, she just needed to define herself up there and, you know, make the case for herself as a candidate, tell us who she is, where she comes from, what she stands for, and define the opposition, which wasn't too hard. He was pretty busy defining himself. He was tweeting while she was speaking about Hunter Biden. I don't know if anyone's told Donald Trump he's not running against the Biden family anymore. So she did a great job. I mean, what a patriotic speech, pointing out all his shortfalls. And, you know, we have a convicted felon and a convicted sex pest running against a career prosecutor and a career, you know, public servant. And, I mean, it's an incredible speech. I mean, any of your listeners, Donald Trump rambled on for an hour and 38 minutes. Kamala Harris made the case for herself, for her candidacy, for the future of the United States in 38 minutes. I mean, the contrast couldn't be starker. Brilliant speech, brilliant convention. The bounces, we always hear about these poll bounces. She's already ahead right now, pretty much in all the swing states. Georgia, she's still behind a little bit. She's taken the national lead in all the national averages over the last few days. So if we revert to the mean in another couple weeks after the convention bounce, Democrats can feel pretty good about where they're at. It's still going to be a coin toss, very tight election, but it was a call to action last night as well. We have to get to work.
Okay.
And that was...
All right,
very powerful speech, like I said. If anyone wants to go and listen, I mean, the contrast can be more. An hour and 38 minutes versus 38 minutes.
All right, well, let's hear what Greg thought of it all. Greg, are the Republicans in a difficult position now? Because you've had to sit out this week, really, where you've had, as I said, all the glitz and glamour and showbiz of the Democratic National Convention, then that speech from Kamala Harris. Are you on the back foot?
Yeah, it's safe to say that President Trump and the campaign are obviously not where they were a month ago. I mean, this was, you know, a bit of a curveball. Maybe we should have seen it coming, pushing Biden out and putting Kamala Harris in the seat. So, you know, that's you can tell that President Trump is not behaving the way he was prior to that event, prior to the Biden termination, we'll call it. And so prior to that, he and the campaign were both very disciplined and different, very different from 2016 and 2020. But again, you know, as TJ pointed out, you know, it's a different candidate, right? Biden was an easy opponent, and it, you know, as of June 20th, it looked, or July 20th, it looked like Trump was going to quite easily win the election. And so, yeah, it's a different story right now. The other point I'll agree with TJ on is 37 minutes or 38 minutes was brilliant. You know, President Trump's speech was way too long. It was written, it was supposed to be 60 minutes. It was written for 60 minutes and it went on for an hour and a half. It's actually written for 55 minutes. First half was good. The second half was way too long. So I think, you know, the campaigns are designed, I mean, conventions are designed this way. I think the Republican convention went really well. I happened to be there. I think this convention went really well. I wouldn't have expected President Trump to get much attention this week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll definitely get a convention bounce. But I think when people start talking substance and policy, that's when it might get interesting.
Okay, I'm just wondering how, you know, it's just interesting to hear you say that, you know, it is difficult for Donald Trump now to work against Kamala Harris. It's also difficult for those who are advising him. I mean, he has been told to stick to policy rather than personal attacks. Let's just listen to him speaking at a rally earlier this week to get a sense of that.
Did you see Barack Hussein Obama last night? Take little shots. He was taking shots at your president. And so was Michelle. You know, they always say, sure, please stick to policy. Don't get personal. And yet they're getting personal all night long, these people. Do I still have to stick to policy? Sir, you must stick to policy. You'll win it on the border. You'll win it with inflation. You'll win it with your great military that you built, that they gave away $85 billion worth of it.
Are you concerned about that, Greg, that he doesn't seem to want to stick to policy?
Yeah, well, he's, you know, he practically admitted it himself. He's taking the bait, right? He's, you know, the other side is definitely using personal attacks. On Monday night, they used the word Trump 147 times, and they used the word inflation and economy 27 times. You know, so they're definitely focusing on the personal. But that has worked for Trump in the past, and I think that's why he's reverting to it. But I don't think it will work this time. I think he's, you know, his advisors are right. Stick to the policies and he wins.
Yeah, but he's not doing that, which for you, TJ, is really good news.
Well, the best news is that, you know, Kamala Harris is now our nominee, and Joe Biden made the right decision, you know, and what a selfless decision he made. We need to honor him for that, which we did earlier in the week when he spoke, and as everyone pointed out during the week. So, you know, we need to have the right people running for the office. And, you know, as Hillary Clinton pointed out, Donald Trump fell asleep at his own trial and he woke up and made his own history, having 34 felony convictions, the first candidate ever to run. I mean, we really have a great contrast here. I just keep saying it. You know, we have a convicted felon who's going to be sentenced in September. I imagine that's going to be delayed. But even so, we couldn't be a bigger contrast.
I mean, and Greg,
that speech last night was. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask Greg. Do you feel that you've got the wrong candidate now in Donald Trump?
Well, I think if I go back in time, I was actually behind Ron DeSantis. And a year ago, I was saying the party that chooses a different or specifically younger candidate will win. And little did I know it was going to happen in late July of the election year. So I think if Biden had dropped a year or two ago and you had an open primary process, I don't think Kamala Harris would be the candidate. She probably wouldn't have been in the top five. And if 2020 was any indication of that. So, you know, this is definitely a curveball. And I think, you know, what I'm hoping is now that the convention's over, some of her comments that have been untested or unchallenged, I should say, you know, will be challenged. And people, hopefully the press will ask her, you know, what are your policies? Can you talk, can you defend your record? Last night she said that Trump was, you know, going to use Project 2025. Not true. He's denied that many times. He said he's going to cut back on Social Security and Medicare. I wish he would. I wish he'd reform those, but he won't. And he said he won't. And then, you know, the comments about, you know, he's going to ban reproductive rights, which is their euphemism for abortion. Not true. He's said many times, put it back to the states, let the people decide. And the current Democratic strategy or policy on that taxpayer-funded up until birth, polls at 13. It polls at 16 in the UK. It polls at 18 with Democrats. So I think we just need some clarity and definition around her record and her policies.
So do you think she's weak on policy?
Oh, absolutely. That's why she's not talking about it, right? The only time she's mentioned policy at all was a week ago today when she talked about her economic policies or proposals, which was price controls and subsidies for housing, all of which are progressive left and don't poll well at all. And even CNN and The Washington Post, which are huge supporters of the Democratic candidates that we've had, even they came out and criticized it. So I think she's done a great job of avoiding policy. If I were her, I would continue to do that.
TJ, is she weak on policy?
Well, again, go back to my 38-minute speech, you know, and you just heard it there from Greg himself. He wants Trump to cut Social Security. I mean, I can't say it any better myself. The choice is there for you. If you want Social Security cut, you want Medicare cut, go for Republicans.
Well, it's, they're
really couldn't be
so
any clearer. She was great last
reformed.
Night. She said that she said last night that, you know, she intends to keep our military the strongest, most lethal fighting force in the world. And you won't hear that from Donald Trump because he's usually running down our veterans. She talked about veterans' health care and how we're going to protect that. Again, they wanted to privatize veterans' health care in the United States. The contrast is amazing. You have two candidates here. You have one choice if you want to continue the country we have and continue on the path of improving the lot of everyone. We have our hiccups. We have ups and downs. Inflation's back under control. We're just, you know, the country's firing on all cylinders economically, better than any other Western democracy at the moment. So do you want to continue this path? Do you want to continue on a way forward for a multicultural United States? Or do you want to go gutting the institutions that we all hold so dear, including Social Security? But you just heard it right here.
Can we just go back to this issue of abortion and what Kamala Harris said last night? Because she did, and TJ, I'll ask you about this once we hear the clip. She referenced Donald Trump's plans, as she said, for a nationwide abortion ban. Now, that's a position, and Greg has said this to us as well, but the CNN fact checker confirmed last night that Trump has not taken, like he's explicitly rejected any plans for a nationwide abortion ban. It is included in Project 2025, but it's not a Trump policy. Let's just listen to what Kamala Harris had to say.
As a part of his agenda, he and his allies would limit access to birth control, ban medication abortion, and enact a nationwide abortion ban with or without Congress. And get this, he plans to create a national anti-abortion coordinator and force states to report on women's miscarriages and abortions. Simply put, they are out of their minds.
Now, if that's not on Donald Trump's agenda, TJ, is this the Democratic Party playing him at his own game?
Donald Trump appointed the three justices that, you know, basically outlawed abortion access in the United States. It's allowed under state. They put it back to the states. I mean, we saw it here in my own state of Ohio. We had a 13-year-old child raped, and she had to go out of state for an abortion. The Republicans said we made it up, and then they fact-checked that, and it was true. It's he's appointed them. If an abortion, national abortion ban comes across Donald Trump's desk, he will sign it, 100%.
He has explicitly said, has he not, that he is not pursuing this policy?
Not at all. He's anything but clear, you know. He said he wouldn't ban the abortion access to abortion pills. But he's only said that. You know, his actions speak louder than words. You know, he everything he's done has been to restrict abortion access. Everything he had 4 years as president, and we know what his record is on reproductive rights. And in Project 2025, which J.D. Vance wrote the introduction to,
say that they don't know what it is pretty crazy. Right. Is in there that they want a national registry of miscarriages.
Okay.
I mean, can you imagine this? A national registry of women who have miscarriages to go back and investigate them mm-hmm. to see whether those miscarriages were natural or not.
Okay, listen.
I mean, you're talking about government surveillance right out of...
We need to leave this here, but yeah. As many have said, now that the Democratic National Convention is over, this is where the rubber hits the road in this campaign, and I'm sure, gentlemen, we will talk to you both again. Greg Swenson and TJ Molloy, thank you both. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.